Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Carl Haslam. It's definitely a man thing, says Carl, because I was saying to Carl that I'm fascinated by her arm. There's a great photo of Carl in the papers today. She's proudly showing off the fanciest robotic arm you've ever seen. It's glittery and sparkly, and she's even got a tattoo on it. And she's here to talk us through it. How long have you got your robotic arm?
So this is a fairly new one. They designed this one specifically for me because I had one from about 2020. And I wasn't really comfortable in it, and it used to kind of slip off me a little bit because it went up over the elbow, and that's how it hooked on. Whereas they, this is a whole new system that it opens and closes, and it clips on with it. It's what it's called a pin socket.
A pin socket.
So there's
right.
a pin on the. I have a kind of silicone liner on my arm.
Yeah.
Put that on in the morning, and then I just push the arm onto it, so it sticks
in.
On. It clicks in, and it stays
okay.
on that way.
Now you've just opened your hand there.
Yeah.
Your robotic hand. Can you close it for me? Look at that. Can you? Sorry about this.
You can't see this.
Because it's radio, yeah. Can you bring it up to the microphone, your hand, and open and close it there?
So that's just...
Does that freak you out, that noise?
I'm used to it.
Are
so,
you?
Like, I don't even realise I'm doing it. Sometimes if I'm sitting, just, you know, sitting at the kitchen table or whatever, and I'll open and close the hands. You know, we're just kind of, like, exercising it because you need to keep the muscles alive. And people go, what's that noise? And I'm like, oh yeah, sorry, that's just me. Because they hear it, but I don't notice it at this stage.
This is my fascination.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
So, the muscles in your arm, there's contacts. You again, we're on radio, so you can't really see. There's two contacts on the socket of the arm. And once they're touching your skin, they can read what your muscles are telling them to do.
Okay, so where it starts in your brain, obviously.
So I'm telling that now, open. So it opens. And I'm telling it now to close, and I contract the muscle, and when the muscle contracts, it closes.
Okay. Now, do you know in your other hand, your right hand?
Yeah.
We have a sort of a feedback loop, don't we?
Yes.
So we open our hand, and we know it's open. We can sort of sense that.
Yeah. No, you don't.
You
have
don't
that.
Have that.
No.
You don't have a feedback loop.
No. So it's the visual, and sometimes if that's out of my eye line, and I tell it to do something, it doesn't do it because.
Why?
You can't, the brain is not telling it to do it properly because you're not looking at it.
That's.
So if I put that behind me back, sometimes it will work, sometimes it won't. But like if it won't work for me, I will just put it out in front of me and open it again because my brain is then telling my arm to do it because it's looking at it.
Yeah.
It's strange.
Isn't it sort of fast, like it's nearly like miracles I don't, but it is technologically miraculous that you can think something and make that inanimate, because it is,
yeah.
it's an inanimate thing, it would be inanimate normally, you can make it move. It's like,
yeah, it is quite amazing,
isn't it?
Like the technology is amazing, and I know in sort of the States they're working on technology that actually gives you feedback, like you've just said.
Yeah.
So it kind of, I don't know. I think it works with the nerves. So I still have all of my nerves,
okay,
from my fingers and from my hand. So it works with those nerves, and it tells it, like, you know, how much pressure you've applied, and like it kind of has feeling in it, for
yes,
want of a
yeah,
better
yeah,
word.
Yeah.
There isn't feeling,
so,
obviously.
Yeah,
but
so what can you do with that hand then?
So
what sort of things? Can you pick
it's
up
strange.
Can you pick up a bottle?
So yeah, you can pick up the bottle.
Okay.
Well. So you can pick it up, but it won't go to your mouth.
All right.
So
okay.
But you can hold it and you can open the lid with it.
Yes, so then you can use your right your
so
other
you
hand.
So you use
yes.
the other hand. But like I was saying to one of your researchers today, I had takeaway from the chipper last night for dinner.
Right.
And for most people that's like, I agree. But I was trying to scrape the sauce out. So I was holding the sauce in this hand,
in
the robotic hand, and yeah. I was scraping it out with the
yes.
fork. Whereas before I had that, I'd have to get someone else to do that for
yes.
me. Or just leave it in. You know, it's silly things,
yes,
really small
yes.
things that you don't
You're
think
right-handed,
of.
You're right-handed, so... Are you right-handed?
I am right-handed, yes.
And
luckily.
You still have your right hand,
yeah.
Okay. Now, how did you lose your left hand?
So I had a rare cancer called sarcoma. It's 1% of adult cancers, kind of higher in children, about 10 to 15%. And it's... There was just a swelling in my hand back at the end of 2016 to start of 2017. And went to a hand specialist. The previous year I had carpal tunnel surgery, so I was in with the hand specialist, and I had gone back to him and I was like, it's swollen and it's kind of a bit painful. But as a florist, your hands tend to hurt a bit. You know, it was kind of Christmas time.
You're repetitive stuff,
yes. And Christmas time would be small, intricate work. So it's your fingers more than your hands you're using. And I was saying, my hand's a bit sore, it's a little bit swollen, blah, blah, blah. And he said to me, OK, you need to go for an MRI quite urgently. And I was like, all right, fine. And I got an appointment for 2 days later. Like, they actually rang me as I was leaving him. They rang me with an appointment for a different hospital. And I was thinking, my God, the HSE is on fire right now. And went, got the MRI. I never in my wildest imagination thought I would have cancer, because is hand cancer a thing?
Yeah.
No, it's not. Yeah. I'd never heard of it. You know, it's
strange.
I remember
even somebody saying that, you know, you don't have to worry below the elbow.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But that's, I'd heard that.
Yes.
With reference to cancer.
So sarcoma would be, it is often in limbs. So it can be in hands, arms, legs,
and,
you know, your knee, your thigh. So sarcoma is the umbrella term for this cancer, but there's like 100 different types of sarcoma. So even though you're diagnosed, so mine is called synovial sarcoma, I could meet somebody else with sarcoma and they would probably have a different type than I would. So
it's synovial fluid, is that?
No, it's randomly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it normally, it kind of, synovial tends to form around joints, but it's not actually to do with the synovial fluid.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
But yes, so I went and got the MRI and I had an appointment for like 4 weeks later to go back for results. And they had said to me, these results, this was a Friday evening, and they said to me, these results won't be in Connolly Hospital until Tuesday. And I was like, oh, grand, I have an appointment in 4 weeks anyway. And on Tuesday, Connolly Hospital rang me and asked me to come in the following day to the clinic. And I was like, oh, okay, weird, but okay. Again, HSE is on fire right now. And I went in by myself because, again, who gets hand cancer, you know. So I dropped the kids to school, went down, went into the clinic, and the consultant came out to me and he sat down and he was chatting to me. But when he came in, he was quite different because the consultant's a lovely guy. He's really happy and chatty. I'd had two carpal tunnel surgeries, so I had dealt with him a couple of times before. And he was quite serious when he came in and called me Mrs. Haslam. And I was kind of looking, going, strange.
Yeah.
My name is Carol, you know that, you know. And he was like, OK, so you need to get a biopsy. And obviously when you hear biopsy, you're kind of going, biopsy, they're looking for something, you know. And I just looked at him and went, do you think I have cancer? And he just went, possibly, maybe not. And I was going, oh my God, who gets cancer in their hand? Like, that never entered my head, never, ever. And I'd had this pain and swelling for like 4 months at this stage. And I went to the GP in January because I was doing me kind of MOT for, you know, your NCT for the body, all the little things. And I, you know, and went to the GP and she's like, all right, well, we'll refer you and stuff. So in my mind, it wasn't even.
Okay. So the diagnosis was cancer.
Yes.
And then you're presented with options, are you?
Not so much. So I went for the biopsy, got the diagnosis, and then like the next day we were going on a 2 week trip to the west coast of America, and I had said, will I cancel it? And she said, no, because it needs to go. There's a whole MDT team, so it's a multidisciplinary team, and that's like surgeons, it's a medical oncologist, it's a radiation oncologist, you know, so everybody who's going to be involved in your care meets, and then they decide what's the best options for you. So it's actually around the corner, and Vincent's here is where the MDT meets for sarcoma in Ireland.
Right.
Because it's such a small cancer, there's one centre for it. Now, you may be treated elsewhere, but you should be going by the MDT team anyway. So she said, no, go on your holidays and we'll get an appointment for when you come home. Grand. So I went away and came home on the Saturday, and then on the Wednesday, I went in to meet with the surgeon. So in my head, I was getting this lump removed. Again, nobody actually gave me that information. In my head, that's what was happening. So I went in and he held my hand. He actually was holding onto my wrist and he was like, OK, make a fist. And then he went, OK, so the good news is you might only need to have a partial amputation. And I just, I was like, what? You know, and he was like, you have two blood supplies into your hand. Some people only have one. So we might only need to partially amputate. So I was like, because I had been saying to my husband while we were away, what happens if I lose the use, you know, partial use of my hand? I'm a florist. Yes. This is what I do.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, look, we'll deal with that when it happens. It'll be fine. They're just going to take the lump out and you'll be grand. You know, because again, that's what we were thinking. So I just kind of looked at him and he was looking at me and we were going, what do you do here? So then my treatment plan was I was going to get chemotherapy first and then I would have the partial amputation.
Which is what? A number of fingers, was it?
So it would have been my thumb and the next two fingers to it, but also the hand, because it was in the hand rather than the fingers.
So I'd have been left
with the small finger and the one beside it. So I was like, okay. But again, when you're not expecting this, this is a huge shock. And I was just going, okay. So we went home and then a couple of weeks later, I started chemotherapy. So chemotherapy for sarcoma is usually different than chemotherapy for other cancers because you go in as a day patient, you get your chemotherapy, you go home. Whereas with sarcoma, you generally go into hospital for 3 to 5, sometimes 7 days, and you get like infusions of 24-hour chemotherapy. So for my first session, I was in for 10 days.
Right.
Because it was just, you know, you had to get the Portacat in for your chemotherapy to go in through your chest and stuff like that. But it's because the chemo is quite, all chemo is strong, I'm not saying that, but the ones that are used to treat sarcoma can be very damaging to your kidneys and can be very damaging to your heart. So you have to be supervised getting it. So you're in hospital for those. So every 3 weeks you're going in for like, it's usually 4 or 5 days. So that's kind of where you're at. Mm-hmm. So I did that and it was fine, but I could see it kind of growing. Now they had said to me, sometimes it grows as it's dying. Mine didn't, mine just grew. And when they eventually removed it, it came back as it was still alive. So it hadn't worked on mine. So sarcoma is a bit of a strange one. Some types of sarcoma, chemo doesn't work at all, ever.
Right.
And then others, it does.
Can I ask you, Carol, were you doing your own research?
Yeah, I did.
Right, yeah.
So I Googled it.
Okay.
And like, it's probably the worst thing you can do. So with sarcoma, it's like, I think if you Google synovial sarcoma, the 5-year survival rate, something like 37%. Okay. So it's quite low, but it's quite scary.
But I suppose the difference, and this is where the amputation comes in, isn't it? The difference is that you can sever it.
Yes.
You can cut off the cancer. Isn't that kind of why they do it.
Yes. But again, with sarcoma, it tends to reoccur. So right. I've had sarcoma in my lung as well since then.
Right.
Now, again, some sarcomas reoccur, some don't. It depends on the type. My type is one that does come back. So I will be scanned for a number of years, possibly the rest of my life, because it can come back at any stage.
But the amputation of your hand?
Yes.
Well, just below the elbow,
so
is it?
So it's mid-forearm.
Mid-forearm, yeah. Right. So that improved your chances?
Well, yeah. So I was researching all of this kind of stuff, and the chances of it coming back in my hand, if they removed part of my hand, was far too high for my liking. Right. My children were 9 and 11 at the time. So I was like, no. And I was kind of going, I need to be here for them. I need to make sure they're okay. You know, so like, I'll just get rid of it. So I woke up one day and I said to my husband, Kev, so I'm going to get my whole hand off. And he just looked at me and went, what? Like, I would sometimes come up with very random ideas, but like, I had been thinking about it, I had been researching it, and it was like the option for me was, I have a far better chance of surviving if that's gone.
Right.
What am I going to do with these two fingers anyway? You can't really do much. You know, it's not, your grip is gone.
Yes.
Like, because your grip is your thumb.
Yes. Yeah,
you know, so your grip is gone. So there's not going to be much I can do with those two fingers anyway. So,
and did you know there was a prospect of getting what you have now?
So I had also been researching prosthetic limbs.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, I'm going to get a robo-arm. So Kappa Hospital is where I had the amputation. But before you go for the amputation, you go to Ottobock, which is the prosthetic centre in the Kappa Hospital campus. So I had gone in and they kind of, you know, they talk you through what's going to come next. And they are amazing in Ottobock. And I had said, I want a robot arm. And she said to me, okay, but if you want a robot arm, you have to get more off. And I was like, what? So the initial thing was I was going to get from my wrist
right
down. And she said to me, because you need space to put batteries and you need space to put the mechanics of it. So it's like under the boot of your car. You know, it's like having under your bonnet.
Yeah, I know, I understand. But her having to say to you that if you want one of those, you need to get more of your arm off.
She said to me, so you need another, say, 5 to 6 inches off. And I was like, okay.
It's like discussing interior decoration, isn't it?
Kind of, but there's no nice way of saying it.
Yes.
There is no way to sugarcoat that, do you know what I mean? So she was like, if you want that, you're gonna have to go kind of mid forearm, so here. So I was like, need to think about this, you know. And then I was kind of thinking, what am I going to be able to do with from the wrist anyway? So
right,
you know. So I went from there and went home and I was like, right, that's happening. And then the morning of the operation, I was talking to my surgeon and he was like, so we're going to go from the wrist. And I was like, no, no, you need to speak to Donna in Ottobock. And he was going, why? I was like, I want a robot arm and I need more space. So you talk to Donna before I go. So he went off and he spoke to Donna to see how much he needed to actually take the morning of my operation. But he was brilliant. Yeah. The man is amazing. Like,
and that is amazing. And you're amazing. And I know both of your children are on the spectrum.
Yes.
Say, and they don't like change.
No, not really.
So how did they react?
So Niamh, who was 11 at the time, nearly 12, she was okay. Obviously, it's a big upheaval. I was sick. I went from having waist-length red hair to having no hair, being bald. So, like, I was visually different. Daniel just got really quiet and he didn't really talk about it for a while. And so after I had it done, we were driving home from Nanny's house. And I had said to him, because he was really quiet, really moody, kind of not aggressive, but, you know, just he wasn't happy and you could tell he wasn't happy. And I said to him in the car, what's wrong with you? And he's like, nothing. And I was like, there's clearly something wrong. What's wrong with you? And he just looked at me and he flicked at my arm and went, that abomination is what's wrong with me. And I was like, I know, it's not nice. So I was like, it's not nice that it happened. I was like, but the other option is I would have died, Daniel. So we need to get used to the abomination. I was like, because otherwise, I was like, that saved my life.
Yeah.
And he was like, fine. He's fine.
I know you've done amazing amount of work because you had to raise a lot of funds yourself, which is brilliant. And you've set up a support group for people with sarcoma, which is great. And there's a charity event coming up.
Yes.
Isn't there? Yes.
Yeah. So we actually set up Sarcoma Cancer Ireland and it's an actual charity because when I was diagnosed, there was no information here. I had to go to the UK to speak to somebody. So sarcoma is known as the loneliest cancer because it is such a small amount of people have it. So Sarcoma Cancer Ireland, we got our charity status at the start of this year, which we were delighted with.
Right.
And we're doing our first major fundraising event in October. So we're doing what's called a sunflower ball. So sunflowers is the symbol for sarcoma, hence the sunflower tattoo. Uh-huh.
Yes.
But it's also my favourite flower. So we are doing the sunflower ball in October and we have like drinks reception. And so we're just at the minute, we're looking for like sponsors for that or we're looking for ticket sales and stuff.
What's the contact details just for people out there?
So you can contact us through our website, sarcoma.ie.
Great.
Or you can email all the emails and all of our social. We're very active on our social medias.
So before I let you go, you, I would imagine, are looking to the future.
Yes.
And you're looking to developments in technology. You're looking to what they're doing in the States. And this arm won't be the one that you'll go into the future with.
Well, it's like any technology. Your computer is obsolete after 5 years. You know, so technology is always evolving. So in 5 years' time, I might have one that does feedback. But because arms is less, I was going to say popular, but that's not it. It would be less used than legs.
Yes.
There's more research done on lower limbs than there is upper limbs.
Right.
But there is people working on upper limbs. So we'll see what happens from here.
Right. You're amazing. Carol Haslam and a robotic arm. Thanks, Carol. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.